Let us now come before the Lord our God, seeking his blessing on the reading and preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, it is our joy and our delight to worship you this afternoon. And we come before your throne, seeking your great blessing. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, that we can read it in our own language, that we have access to it every day, and that we can study it here this afternoon, also in freedom. And we pray, Father, that we might never take these gifts for granted. Continue to grant us this blessing. And as your word is read, as it is proclaimed, we pray, Father, open up our hearts to receive it. Grant us understanding minds. May we learn to hate what is evil and love what is good. And may we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending us, your Son, to be our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that we have a glorious future awaiting us through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will forgive our sins and shortcomings and look upon us through his perfect redeeming work. Work in us now, we pray. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from the book of Hebrews. We're going to read Hebrews 11, the verses 1 to 16. And this is, of course, a well-known passage about Old Testament believers who lived by faith. And this also connects with our text from Luke 2, which also contains a few examples of God's people who lived by faith. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 16. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And surely if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. As far as our reading from the book of Hebrews, let's now turn to the Gospel of Luke. We will read Luke 2, the verses 21 to 38. And the events here happen soon after our Lord Jesus was born. So we begin the reading at verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. As far as the reading of our text. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, yesterday was the last day of 2022, and here we are, entered into another year. As you look back on the past year, imagine you had to describe it using just one word. If you were to do that, what word would you choose? I think we would probably receive any number of words used among us. Words such as maybe busy, good, difficult. For some, maybe mediocre. Others, maybe it's productive. For some, stressful. Maybe for some of you, you would use the word sad. Others, maybe it's positive. For some of you, maybe even romantic. Now, this afternoon, I want to extend this thought process a little bit further. Imagine for a moment that you are on the last day of your life. And on the last day of your life, you look back and you take stock of everything. How would you describe the life you lived in this world? What kind of goals did you have? What kind of attitude did you carry with you day by day? And what also dominated your focus year after year? You know, in some ways, it's a good idea to live life backwards. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, think about your last day on earth, and then look back on your life. Imagine the life you want to see as you look back. And when I say imagine the life you want to see, I'm not talking about getting your dream career or making lots of money. No, I mean, by the power of the Spirit, no matter what situation we are in, we can make it our aim to live for the glory of God. And we can aim to focus on the kingdom of God in our lives, no matter what our situation in life. Now, in our text this afternoon from Luke 2, we see two older believers from Israel who are near the end of their lives. There is Simeon and there is Anna. And what do we see in them? We see two people who lived with a focus on the kingdom of God. And that type of life is surely the best life lived. They can look back on their life and say it was the best life to live for God's glory. It's one also that's worth aiming for us as we enter into a new year. So that brings us to the sermon theme, live every year with a kingdom focus. And we focus on, first of all, salvation from the king, and second of all, service to the king. Oh, beloved, in some ways, perhaps the introduction I just gave can be even a little bit discouraging. As you look back on this past year, and maybe on your life so far, maybe you don't like what you see. Maybe you see one giant struggle. Maybe you can see, all you can see are your failures and your sins. And in some ways, we might get that same feeling from our text also. Listen to what Luke 2 says about Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just, or righteous as we could translate it, and devout. And it's clear he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to what it says about the prophetess Anna. She had been a widow for many years, and it says, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping God with fasting and prayer night and day. And with those descriptions, maybe you think to yourself, well, I'm never going to live up to their zeal for the kingdom of God. And you know what? In some ways, that reaction is good and okay. We will never live life with a kingdom focus by just doing a comparison game, trying to match someone else's zeal, because that is not really putting the focus on God. It's putting the focus on others and on ourselves. And we must understand these descriptions of Anna and Simeon here do not mean they were without sin. Not at all. Rather, the text makes clear they knew where their salvation was from. It was from the Lord. About Simeon, it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. As I'll explain in a moment, this term describes God's salvation for his people. And Simeon himself says to God, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Anna, too, after seeing the baby Jesus, began to speak about him to all who were waiting for redemption in Jerusalem. Another term describing salvation. And the same goes for another person in our text, Mary, the mother of our Lord. In Luke 1, the angel greeted her as one who is highly favored by God, yet she herself said in her song of praise, my heart rejoices in God my Savior. She needed saving too. And what does this mean for us? Well, living every day with a kingdom focus means focusing first of all on salvation from the King. You see, at the end of our lives, every one of us here is going to look back and we will be able to see sins that we've committed. None of us has the moral perfection, the righteousness to overcome death. In fact, far from it. It doesn't lie in ourselves. Again, verse 25 says, Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. And the word consolation here can be translated as comfort, the comfort of Israel. And some Old Testament passages, particularly from Isaiah, help us to understand what this is. Think of that well-known passage in Isaiah 40. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her guilt has been taken away, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Right? This is what Simeon is waiting for, the Lord to come to take away the guilt of Israel, God's people. Or listen to God's word in Isaiah 49. "The Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." It was God's promise to Israel that he has and would comfort his people. And Simeon trusted that, trusted the word of God. It dominated his focus. He knew he needed saving, God's people needed saving, and he trusted that the Lord would be faithful to those promises, that he would bring salvation. And when he saw the baby Jesus, he knew that the Lord's salvation had come. This is what gave him peace in his heart. His only comfort in life and in death was found in this little child, the Savior of the world. And may that give us peace too, focusing on the saving work of Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing is, we can see something of his saving work right here from this text. And when you look at the beginning of our text, you can see how it keeps pointing out to the fulfillment of God's law. Right? Mary and Joseph fulfilling the law of God regarding children. There's verse 21. 8 days after Jesus was born, he was circumcised according to the law. There's verses 22 to 24. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb should be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Again, the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord. What's the purpose of those words? Well, it does show something of the devotion of Mary and Joseph to God's word, but it shows us something even more important. It shows us something of God's saving work in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, the Savior, had to go through these things in order to save us. One reason he came to this earth was to fulfill the law of God and live the life we could not live and do it perfectly. And this had to start right from the very beginning of his life. If he was going to pay for our sins at the end of his life, he had to carry out the law of God right from the beginning of his life. And this is what we see in this text. And listen to how this is described for us in Galatians 4, in verses 4 and 5. There it says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." You know, those born under the law, as we all are by nature, need to fulfill the law completely to avoid its curse. Every speck of the law needs to be done if we are to avoid the curse of the law. And we know we can't do that on our own. But there is one who has, our Lord Jesus Christ. He was born under the law. He kept it perfectly. He did that not just for himself, but for you who believe in him. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so this saving work of Jesus Christ, also displayed in our text, makes us sons of the King, the Lord God, the Almighty. Apart from anything we have done, and in fact, despite the wrong things we have done. As sons of God the King, we share in his eternal inheritance. And living with a kingdom focus means focusing first of all on this salvation from God. That brings us to our second point, service to the King. So, beloved, we need to understand the salvation we have from the Lord. We will never properly live for God if we don't understand this. And on the other hand, understanding this and believing it steadfastly will spur us on to serve the King who has saved us by his grace. Now, one reason why believing this gospel gives us the power to live for God is the work of the Holy Spirit. You see this in Simeon from our text. Verse 25 calls him a just and devout man who's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's what allowed him to live in that devout manner. Verse 26, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, he came in the Spirit into the temple. The Spirit, empowering him to live for God. Spirit was the source of his life. Live for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit gave him a focus on the kingdom of God. And it's the same thing for us. We can only live in service to the King through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that all believers have the Holy Spirit. Listen again to Galatians 4 to see this truth. There we read, God's Son, again, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. As those who believe in Jesus Christ, we have been given the Holy Spirit. And as those given the Holy Spirit, let us pray for his ongoing work in our lives to change us, to direct our focus on the Lord and his kingdom. And he will give us the power to do it. And what does that look like in our lives? Well, think for a moment of the parable Jesus told in Luke 13, describing the kingdom of God. He said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven or yeast that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until the entire lump of dough was leavened. Right? She had that lump of dough. The yeast was worked throughout the whole lump. What's the message? The kingdom of God and service to God is like that. It infuses everything we do in life. And look at how this is displayed in the people in our text. Think, first of all, of Joseph and Mary. It's clear from this text. They were committed to following God's law regarding children and God's covenant. They received the gift of a child from the Lord. Yes, it was our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He was perfect in every way, but yet they were devoted to raising this child to God's glory and according to God's word. It's clear from this text they knew the law of God, they knew God's covenant and what the Lord wanted from them, and they were committed to following that. And if they were asked at Jesus' circumcision, do you promise as father and mother to instruct your child according to God's word to the utmost of your power? Well, they would respond with a hearty yes. Yes, that's our goal. That's our desire. That's what we want to do day in and day out. For the parents among us, is that your desire as well? Is that your focus? Raising children according to God's ways, according to God's kingdom, according to his covenant. It's one way you can live life with a kingdom focus. Look next at the life of Simeon. Our text describes him as just and devout, or righteous and devout. And yes, it must be emphasized, the righteousness we need to stand before God's throne is through Jesus Christ alone. But as those justified by God's grace, we now aim to live righteously in all things. And by God's grace, this described Simeon's life more and more. You can tell in his heart, he's devoted to serving the Lord in his life. Now listen to how he describes his relationship to God in verse 29. I used the ESV when I was making the sermon. It said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." A more literal translation would be as follows: "Master, now you are releasing your slave in peace." Well, that's how he viewed the Lord as his king, as his master. That's how he viewed his relationship with God. He sees himself as a bondservant of the Lord, whose job it is to serve God in everything, in all of life. And when his task on earth was complete, he viewed it as being released from a debt of service. It's like here he's being given honorable discharge from the military or something like that. And he would have said what Jesus told us to say when we have done everything commanded of us. We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Right? A mindset of serving the Lord day by day. And it's a reaction to seeing the Messiah shows his focus in life also. You know, we saw the Lord Jesus gave him such relief and joy to see the Savior. He took the child in his arms and blessed God, "Master, now you are releasing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." It was a longing fulfilled to see the Lord. Give him a sense of fulfillment and purpose. Simeon was a man who lived by faith, as did all those people in Hebrews 11. They knew God's promises. They waited for God to fulfill those promises. And one day their faith became sight, as it did for Simeon here in our text. He set his eyes on the Savior, and he was at great peace and joy. It's what allowed him to die in peace. Then there's the prophetess Anna. You can tell the kingdom of God obviously was a focus in her life. She was a widow for many years, but she was not alone. She had the Lord. The Lord was with her. And it says she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. The words of Psalm 27 were certainly on her heart. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Or think of the words of Psalm 84. "One day in your courts, O Lord, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." And yes, this was in the heart of Anna. You know, if she lived now, if she was a part of this congregation, she would make it her aim to be here every Sunday, worshiping with the Lord's people. It's what gave her joy. Don't choose to skip church, forget about it. She would be here, hearing God's word, singing his praises. When she saw the baby Jesus, probably heard Simeon's words about him, she needed to speak to others about the Lord. Hey everyone, this is a Savior we've been waiting for. Rejoice, this is him. Come and see. Now again, I want to emphasize, we aim to live with this focus not because we are in a competition with anyone, not the people of our text also, but as those redeemed by Jesus Christ, we still have a good pattern to follow through the lives of these faithful believers. And so the kingdom of God shapes everything we do, whether it's how we go about our daily work, what kind of goals we make in life, what kind of spouse you might look for, how you spend your money, what kind of entertainment choices you make. The kingdom of God shapes it all. You know, it's really easy for us to slip into a mode of living where life is all about ourselves. Or perhaps if it's not all about us, our goals and our desires for life still form the main focus. Now, what does a life lived without a kingdom focus look like? Well, it could be a morally corrupt life. It doesn't have to necessarily look like that. It will become self-centered, however, where the kingdom of God becomes more of an afterthought. It's just a sideshow to our own life that we are living for ourselves. We might focus on building our own career, which is a good thing to do in itself, but it's all to reach my own goals in life. We might work to gain money, which we ought to support ourselves, but it's all about spending it on me and my kingdom, my own pleasure. We might desire to get into a relationship. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. That can be encouraged, but without a thought to God and his kingdom. And we might spend lots of energy raising a family. That's good too. But not if it's all for my own personal fulfillment. You see, when this becomes our mode of living, then the relationship between God and us is flipped on its head. In this lifestyle, with this mindset, we become king or queen, and God becomes the servant who is there to fulfill all my plans and goals and dreams. But that's backwards. The right way to see life is that God is the king, and we are his servants. And so in all those regular activities of life, in all the goals of life, serving the Lord shapes it all. It's also what guides how we spend our Lord's Day each Sunday. I'm not sure about this congregation, our own congregation. There has been lots of sickness come through. People miss services, and that's legitimate, of course. But it's good to ask, what kind of attitude do we have? Do we have that same attitude as Anna? No, I'm going to be in church if I can make it. It's where I belong. I want to fix my eyes on my Savior and on my God. Praise him. That too is part of living with a kingdom focus. Let me assure you that this will provide the greatest fulfillment in life also. We're living for the King of Kings. If we aim to make this our focus more and more, then at the end of our lives, we'll look back, we will know it was a life well lived. You know, don't make the mistake of living only for self. It's going to be an empty life in the end. You know, as I was writing this sermon, I had gone to the Transcona Public Library, just up the road from my own church building. I needed a quiet space to work, and it was a nice workspace. It had lots of light. There's lots of big windows there. While I was taking a small break, I decided to walk down the aisles and scan some of the books on the shelf. And there was one particular book, it's actually quite a thick book, that really caught my eye. The title of that book was this: 1001 TV Shows to Watch Before You Die. And when I saw that book, I just shook my head. No, really? That's how people live their lives? That's your bucket list? 1001 TV shows to watch before you die? You know, how empty. I can assure you that no one, and I mean absolutely no one, on their deathbed is going to say, "Yes, I did it. I watched all those TV shows. Now my life is fulfilled. I can die in peace." It's not going to happen. It's not. Beloved, live for God. Live for the King. As we live by faith, as the people of Hebrews 11 did, as we live for God's kingdom, as the people of our text did, that one day our faith will become sight. We will enter God's eternal rest in His glorious kingdom. Amen. Let us now pray to the Lord. Our Father who is in heaven, we come before your holy throne, and we thank you that your throne is a throne of grace. We thank you that you sent your Son to do what we could not do, fulfill your law perfectly, and redeem us from the curse of the law, and bring us into the new creation that is his resurrection. We thank you that we are new creations in Christ, and we pray, Father, that as those who have received the gift of your wonderful salvation, we might now live for you. Fill each and every one of us with your Spirit, that we might live with a kingdom focus in our lives. Grant us what we need so that more and more our lives might look like the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for the servant attitude you had. We pray that we might take on that same attitude in our own lives, serving you, our triune God, and serving each other in love. Father, we pray that you will grant us the right goals and right priorities in life to your praise and glory, not only this day, not only this week, but also this year and for every year that you give us in this life. Will you please hear our prayer for Jesus' sake alone? Amen.